Great, thanks. So I'll give the floor first to Roberto, and we have about like 15 minutes before we finish. So would you like to address some of all questions?
Well, Sam, I cannot claim to have the answers, and I would say we can, you know, pick the coffee and discuss a lot of them further. I don't have more authority than anybody else. But I think there is clearly some kind of a program or menu of alternatives emerging out of a lot of civil society meetings, demands, discussions, and not just of civil society, but also what developing countries are demanding through different mechanisms, regional and international. I would say, for example, debt, which is one issue that people forget permanently, even in these days and in discussions that happen here. I mean, 30, 40 countries are going to be unable to pay in a matter of weeks or months because of the drop of commodity crisis and the combination and the impact of the crisis and so on, which has, I mean, there is a transmission is not immediate. So a lot of developing countries are starting to feel the crisis now. In a sense, when the international appetite for reform seems to be disappearing, they are starting to feel the crisis now. Now, moratorium of the debt, because there is an emergency, as happened with the tsunami. Debt workout mechanisms, you know, all kinds of those things have to be put on the table. So they are going to be put like proactively before it happens or when the whole thing starts to collapse. And again, I think there is quite a difference in the thinking after the massive bailouts that have happened. You are a finance minister in a country that cannot pay or that has to choose between paying the international creditors or paying the nurses and the teachers and, you know, and you can say, hey, why, you know, those people get bailout and not me, and I will bail out myself and not pay the international creditors. And that's a thinking that would have been unthinkable, but it's more or less happening in one way or the other. Argentina did it and, you know, more or less succeeded. Ecuador is getting out of an audit of the crisis, of which finds a lot of it is illegitimate. If that is spread out and done everywhere, okay. So that is one thing, and it needs to be urgent and fast. SDR, the special drawing rights of the IMF. I mean, the $250 billion, which is a good step, more than three-fourths of that is for the developed countries. And very little is for the developing countries. Now, they don't need it. So the proposal is over there to, on the one hand, increase the size of the new special drawing rights, but also for developed countries to put that money for developing countries. The cost is minimal, and it would go to the countries without any conditionalities, which is the important point here, that those reserves can be transformed into actual money to implement poverty policies and anti-poverty policies, but then that this can be done at very, very low cost. The reform of the Bretton Woods institutions, I mean, I'm not saying anything new, but we were hearing yesterday some, you know, UN high officers lobbying for the donors to give money to the World Bank. And we said, yes, fine, but let's reform the World Bank first. That's before we actually strengthen it with more money. That, in that case, that money, yes, would allow them to impose conditionalities on how it's being lent on. And that is pretty risky in the long run. Then ethical finances is something that is coming out in many crises, not just microfinances, yes, but also ethical finances. And it is happening now in some cases, including Italy and so on, that funds based on ethical principles are paying more to their savers than some of the very risky hedge funds. And they care about where the money goes. And then that relates, of course, with the whole tax haven, offshore economy, unaccounted for economy, and so on. The hope for that comes in that many of the richest countries in the world are having problems in that regard. So countries like France, where GDP dropped perhaps by 1% because of the recession, but tax collection dropped by 10% almost. Now, that's a big problem if your income drops by that far, and if the economy drops one, and then what it means is there is massive evasion happening, and new evasion thanks to the crisis in one way or the other. And the governments want to cope with that. And some of the instruments they may have to cope for that is the currency transaction tax or financial transactions tax, because apart from the tax in itself, it gives you a lot of information of where the money is and where it goes, which then you can apply the usual taxes that you have, or some control of the offshore economy, tax havens, and so on. And finally, how do you link that with climate, which is the big discussion, the big thing, and the green economy and so on? I guess the concept that there is a climate debt has to be recognized and is starting to make its way as a concept. If a climate debt is recognized, then you would have a massive non-conditional, non-aid-related transfer of resources to save the planet on the one hand and to address inequities on a global level. Yeah, that's not for tomorrow, and it's not even for Copenhagen, but it's an idea where civil society has to push for the future if we want to have one.